We're in 1 Timothy 4. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10 today. Same verses as last week. So we're just going to talk about something. Actually, there's going to be a lot of overlap from what I said last week, but also it's not going to be the same. Later this month, the Olympic Games begin in Paris. And athletes from all over the world are going to come to Paris, and they're going to compete for gold medals. And for these athletes, this is like a dream come true. They have been training all their lives for this. This is their moment. They've sacrificed, they've sweat, they've given up their time, they've given up much of their lives for the privilege of coming to the Olympics. That's what they've done. Have you ever trained for something? You played tennis. You used to train for tennis. I used to play football, American football, not soccer. And I trained when I played football, you know, lifted weights, which I hated. I don't like lifting weights. But I did it because I had to. Ran, which I did enjoy. Worked on my skills. You do this when you train, and I can remember running sprints at 10:30 at night on a football field in Oklahoma in July. I ran at 10:30 at night because it was about 105 during the day. And at 10:30 at night, it was only 96 degrees. And so running wind sprints at 10:30 at night, this is I remember doing this so that I could be in shape when practice started. And you work out year round, and it isn't easy, the working out, the training that you do. And when you do this, you do it because you want something. People who train want something, like maybe a gold medal for the Olympic athletes, or you want to start for your college team. This is how training is. You do hard things in training because you want something. That's the way it works. Now, last week, we saw Paul tell Timothy that, well, bodily training is good, godliness is much better. This week, we're going to talk a little more about this training and godliness business. So I'm going to read same verses as last week, starting in verse 6, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained, or the word there is nourished, in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Okay, so bodily training has some value, he says. There's some value to the training those Olympic athletes are doing. There's some value to the training I used to do when I would work out for football. But training in godliness is far more important, he says. That's review. We talked about that last week. And that was actually one of the major themes from last week. Because godliness is so important, we then get verse 10. He says, to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. To this end, we toil and strive. The word, that word end, English word end, means something like goal. It's not end as in the final, it's end as in a goal. Or for this reason, we toil and strive. Literally, all it says is, for unto this we toil and strive. The word end isn't even there. Our goal isn't there. Our reason isn't there. It's just this. Unto this. Or this is why, if you want to think of it that way. We toil and strive. So what is this? Why do we toil and strive? It's the stuff he's just been talking about. For godliness, we toil and strive. We want godliness. Now, toil and strive are words that suggest not just work, but struggle and hardship. It's very hard work. It's, you know, when the athletes train, they're toiling and striving. They're not just sitting at a computer, you know, drinking tea. And Paul says, we are toiling and we are striving and we are struggling for godliness. So what I want you to see then is from this, it should be very clear that the Christian life is not easy. Sometimes people think that way. But if you walk with God, He will not promise you an easy life. In fact, you may find that walking with God will be the most difficult thing you will ever do. The thing of it, though, is so many people, they call themselves Christians, but really all they want is an easy life. They're more interested in an easy, comfortable life than they are in following Jesus. And the problem is, those two things really don't go together very well. They want a nice home. They want some money, a good, comfortable job, security. They want people to like them. They want, this is what they want. So let's be clear. If the main thing you want from life is a nice, comfortable life, then you're not going to get godliness. It's not going to happen. If you get godliness, you have to toil and strive. And if you just want comfort, you're not going to toil and strive for godliness. You're just going to take it easy. Godliness involves struggle, toil, striving, sacrifice, hardship. It involves that kind of stuff. And you don't get it through the easy life. I mean, I wish you did. I like comfort as much as the next guy. I wish that's the way it worked. That's not the way it works. And that's why so many people never get godliness. It's too expensive. They just want the easy life. But here's the thing. If you're going to follow Jesus, I want you to think of Jesus in his life for a moment. Did Jesus endure hardship? You laugh. Yes. I mean, he went to the cross. He had people opposing him pretty much his entire ministry. Okay, so you're following him. If you follow a guy who endured hardship, guess what you do? You endure hardship. Your leader did. You're following him. What makes you think you're the exception? And following Jesus involves this training in godliness. Just as going to the Olympics involves bodily training. See, most people, most really good athletes, never get to make it to the Olympics. To get there, you have to first, obviously, have a certain ability. But you also have to train. And that's hard. And most people don't do that. And so most, even of the really good athletes, don't do that. And so they don't go. To be willing to sacrifice and to train in anything, whatever it is, you know, sports was what we've been talking about, but anything, any, your job, your music, whatever it happens to be, requires that you desire something. And that's how Paul puts it, verse 10. I'm going to read it again. He says, to this end, that's godliness, for godliness we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So why do we toil and strive for godliness? He says, because we have our hope set on God. That's why. Our hope is on the living God who saves us. We want godliness because we want God. That's what it boils down to. That's why you want that characteristic. And if necessary, we must be willing to give up things like time, money, career, your comfort, in order to have God. We have to be willing to do that if we need to do that. God is worth more than anything this earth can offer you. A lot more than this earth can offer you. And the earth can offer you a lot of stuff. But it's nothing to what God has. What Paul's talking about here is a passion for God. We are toiling and striving because we want God. And you and I, we should be willing to do that. To toil and strive and sacrifice because of what we desire with all our heart. That's how it works. You don't train just to train. You train, I said earlier, because you want something else. And when you train in godliness, you don't do it just to do it. You do it because you want God. You want something else. You know, the athlete wants to go to the Olympics. So he trains. That's how it is with you and me. We want God, so we train. When you do train, it's hard. Toil, striving, you know. But it's good. I mean, so when I used to work out, it was hard, but afterwards it felt so good. I can't explain that to you, but David knows exactly what I'm talking about. And if you've ever done that, if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It feels good afterwards. It does not feel good in the middle of it. It does not feel good beforehand. In fact, sometimes I would have to talk myself into going through the training beforehand. But then on the other end, it was like, oh, it was so good. I'm so glad I did that. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Okay, the Christian life is that way. It's hard, but it's good. And you have to want it. So then, training in godliness, what's this look like? And I really debated what to talk about here in training, because it looks like so many different things. You know, we could talk for days on end about that question. What does this training in godliness look like? We could talk about things like, you know, serving in your church, and things like just being a part of a church, and you know, doing that regularly, being part of a community of God's people, and meeting with God's, you know, meeting with some other guys or meeting with some other girls, and fasting. We could talk about. We could talk about prayer. We could talk about giving. We could talk about all this stuff involves training. It's different aspects of training in godliness. And but I didn't want to really talk about all that stuff. And part of the reason is you can do all that stuff with a wrong heart. And you should do all that stuff. That's the thing of it. All that stuff helps your heart, and yet all that stuff isn't really, the heart is the foundation. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, about your heart. Because training in godliness really involves training your heart. And that's tricky. That's not like just go lift some weights. You know, if it was that easy, probably a lot more people would be godly, but it isn't that easy. And so let me just say some things. So it involves your heart. What that means is Christianity is not just a philosophy. Jesus does not want you to merely believe some ideas in your head. That's not what he's looking for. He wants your heart. He does not want you to just know stuff. He wants you to love him. That's different. Next, Christianity is not just a set of rituals that you do. You know, just pray these prayers, and you got the prayers memorized. You know, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so on. It's a good prayer. But it's not just, let's just repeat the prayer. That's not Christianity. It's not just, you know, go to church, take communion, read the Bible, give, do all, you know, like the things I was talking about earlier. Just go do that stuff. Those practices by themselves are not Christianity. Jesus doesn't want you merely to do stuff. Now, he wants you to live a certain kind of life, yes, but he's not looking for you to just repeat rituals in your life and say, I'm a Christian because I do these rituals. No, that does not make you a Christian. He wants you to love him. And so Christianity is not just about what you believe up here or what you do, you know, regularly, habits in your life. It's about your heart. Now, obviously, if Jesus gets your heart, it affects what you think. And if he gets your heart, it affects how you live. In fact, if it doesn't affect how you think and how you live, he doesn't have your heart. But the heart is where everything starts. The heart is the most important thing. What this means is that training in godliness needs to get at your heart and not just some doctrines and not just some rituals. And that's a lot trickier. I mean, how do you train a heart? So then right belief with a wrong heart is not Christianity. And it's not godliness. And right deeds with wrong heart is not godliness. See, true godliness gets at the center of who you are, not just what you do, but who you are. So how do you train your heart to love Jesus? I mean, that's really what we're getting at, right? We need to love Jesus. That's where godliness begins. So how do you train for that? Okay, first thing is this. Ask for it. Just ask God for it. Ask God to give you a right heart. Ask God to increase your love for Jesus. Just ask Him. This is where godliness begins. It really begins with you wanting it and asking for it. And you say, well, I don't know if I want God. Do you wish you wanted God? Then if you do, somewhere down there, there's a desire. And act on that desire. And ask Him to give you it, the desire. So that's step one. Just ask for a right heart. The funny thing about asking for the right heart is that you're already on the path toward a right heart when you do the asking. Step two, you know, you just ask for it. Step two in training your heart to love Jesus is kind of like learning to love anyone else. So I want you to think for a moment. I mean, those of you who are married, which is everyone except Sue here, I want you to... And so... Those of you who are married, think back to how did you learn to love your wife or your husband, your spouse? How did that happen? And you say, well, I'm still learning that. Oh, well, yes. Okay, good. Me too. I mean, but how did you learn to love her and to grow in that love? I mean, you should still be growing in your love for your spouse. I get that, but something happened, you're married. How did you first learn to love her? Didn't you spend time together? Mm-hmm. Didn't you talk? And as you spent time together, you began to see more of her beauty. And I'm not talking physical. But you began to see new things in your spouse that you really liked, that you appreciated. And the more you saw, the more you loved her. Guys, you never grow to love people that you know nothing about. I mean, think of the people you love. The people you love are actually the people you know. You don't typically fall in love with some stranger that you know nothing about. Or that you never spend time with. Okay. You want to have a heart that loves Jesus? Get to know him. Spend time with him. It's just no different from getting to know and getting to love anyone else. He's a person. So you've had experience with this. Those who are married have had experience with this for sure. You can do the same thing with him. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about the importance of knowing God's Word, delighting in God's Word. I talked about that last week, and then David talked about it a couple weeks ago in Psalm 19. And God's Word, here's the thing of God's Word. God's Word points you to God. It points you to Jesus. You know how I fell in love with Jesus? I read God's Word. That's what happened. That's part of my story. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. And I just had this sense, I need to read the Bible. And I started reading the New Testament. And every night before I went to bed, I read 5 chapters in the New Testament. And I started in Matthew, and so when you start in Matthew, you know, you get Jesus right away. And I fell in love with Jesus. I just fell in love with Jesus by getting to know him. And that was part of my getting to know him, as I read the Word of God. When you read the New Testament, it points you to Jesus. And I saw, as I read him, I saw his beauty. I saw, man, I saw what he taught. I said, I want to be like this guy. Jesus changed my heart through the process of simply getting to know him. That's what happened with me. That is training in godliness. We're starting with the heart. I mean, all those other things I've mentioned, they're there too. I'm not trying to downplay all the other stuff. But I want to begin with the foundation. And the heart is the foundation. And so there's so much more in such training. We have to learn to obey. Training in godliness involves obedience. And that's hard. Training in godliness requires us to learn to trust him. And that's hard, to learn to trust him. Because we just, you know, you want to do things your way. And sometimes we have to trust him to not do things our way. Training in godliness requires us to learn to die to self. And that's really hard. And I'm still in the process of learning these things, learning to obey and learning to die to self and learning to trust him. But I'm going to tell you this, the foundation to such training, you know, obedience and dying to self and trusting him, the foundation to all of that is your relationship with God. It's your getting to know him. And you're spending time with him, and you're loving him, that's going to most help you build godly character. And you do this because, verse 10, he is your hope. Our hope is in the living God, the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. He saved you if you have faith. And so I want to close with some prayer, and I'm going to ask you guys to pray. And we're going to pray for three things. And so I'm just going to ask you on your own right now to ask God for a right heart. That's really the beginning of this. Just ask Him for a right heart. And I wanted you to ask God, where do you need to sacrifice and toil and strive in order to know Him and follow Him better? Just ask Him to show you where you need to toil and strive, and for the grace to do it. And so, Father, I pray that You would show us how You want us to train ourselves in godliness, to train our hearts. And I pray that You show us where we need to take steps that are hard, where we need to sacrifice our time for You, where we need to sacrifice our desires for You, where we need to sacrifice whatever for You, that we may know You more and love You more. And I pray by Your grace that we would not just know where we're to do that, but that we would do it because we love You and because we want You. Give us that desire, God. I bless Your name and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.